I'm so sick of going to places and like people asking me like where I'm coming from, where I'm from, where I'm flying to. I hate those questions. I never answer them.
But they're easy.
No, but I don't want to answer. Then they say, oh, really? Oh, that's so, and you gotta talk to them again.
But you understand the basis of small talk, right? That is small talk.
No, but I don't want small talk. I don't need small talk.
I know you don't want it and need it, but society dictates that we do it. You can't just stare at somebody, or you can't just meet someone for the first time and to jump into something.
I'm talking about like at Blockbuster or at like at Amex or
Blockbuster. At like... Are you still going to Blockbuster?
Whatever. My point is, you're going to interact with someone who's like a salesperson.
Okay.
Yeah. So, how was your day today? How are you doing? I don't want to talk about that.
No.
Right? It's an affected conversation.
You know,
I don't want
funny.
To have anything affected.
You know what's hilarious? My wife and I were just, we were down the shore and it was like an overcast day. It wasn't a beach day. And she says, oh, let's go to that furniture store. I want to check out a few things. I'm like, okay. So we go to the furniture store and I said, I parked in the lot. She goes, all right, ready? I said, hold on a second before we go in. Let's have a plan because you know how furniture stores work. You walk in and they attack you. Yeah. Immediately.
They do?
Yeah.
You ever been to a furniture store?
Not recently.
Oh my God. Wow. It's immediate and they glob on you and then they kind of let you go, but they're shadowing you like almost like CIA. They're just trailing you a little bit in the back and they wait for you to stay at something and really like something or feel the fabric or sit on it. And then they attack. You know, that's available in all these different patterns. You know that that's on sale. You know. And I said, okay, here's our plan. We're going to go in there. And as soon as they do, we're going to say, we're not looking for anything. It's not a beach day. We're just here to waste time. I'm always like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, that's what we're doing. And we walked in and sure enough, like you can't even take two steps. And there's a woman comes in. Hey, welcome to so-and-so furniture. You know, what are you guys looking for today? I said, look, we're not looking for anything. It's not a beach day. We're just wasting some time today looking at furniture. She goes, all right, just let me know if you need anything.
Did it work?
It sort of worked, but she kind of popped up in two different spots.
Yeah, I don't think that's discouraging.
Sitting on something.
I think you have to say, I have no money. My credit is terrible. Yeah, what do you have in a larger recliner?
Yeah. I'm here. I have zero money. I have so much furniture. I don't even need furniture.
Yeah.
I'm here for kicks.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm here to jump on the bed. Where is the bed?
Yeah. Point me in the direction of your beds. I'm going to take a nap.
I want to take a nap. That's right.
Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh, my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Oh, my, the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop. Solving life's troubles while they spit in their bop. FTS crew, climbing to the top. Three homies chilling, yeah, they making the crop. Dave sees the ship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. We are back for another episode, episode number 73. And again, I feel like this is a broken record. I apologize for such a delay between episodes, but
we're trying. We're legitimately trying. I know it might not seem like that, but we are.
Yeah. Well, it is episode 73. And Omar, I think last week or last. Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Last episode,
you had asked whether 72 was the number of home runs Barry Bonds hit in his record season. Well, that prompted me to look up what's so special about 73. And I have some tidbits. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
73 is the number of home runs that Barry Bonds hit in his record setting. It's also the number of record setting wins by the Golden State Warriors in the 2015-2016 season.
Yep.
70. Get this.
That's amazing.
One. In the 1940 NFL championship game, the Bears beat the Redskins 73-0.
Wow.
The largest score ever in an NFL game. But you know what blew me away?
The spread was 74.5?
Yeah, they didn't cover. No, but the game before, the Redskins lost the Bears 7-3.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I thought that's amazing. So
that's strange.
Anyway, so this could be a strange episode. 73 has got kind of a voodoo around it.
All right.
But
in a good way.
Of course, in a good way. Everything's good.
Yeah.
It's a voodoo that you do.
So
that's exactly right. Well, I want to welcome my hosts that are with me, that join me every time. All 73 episodes, they've been side by side with me virtually. First, I'll introduce Josh. Josh, how are you doing this week, today?
Today, this week? Well, two things. One, I'm out of the boot. I was in a boot because I tore my calf, if you guys remember correctly.
It's been so long, I forgot about that.
It's been a while.
I meant to ask you, how are you doing?
It feels so much better. It feels amazing to not be in the boot. Although when I went into the doctor and he took the boot off, he goes, wow. And then he had like two people that were shadowing him that I guess were, you know, up and coming, you know, orthopedist, I guess, or who knows. And he says, now you see this guy's, he says, all right, turn around, Josh. I said, okay. He goes, now look at this guy's calves. And he says, one calf, my calf had atrophied like crazy.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's like a dramatic difference to my left calf and my right calf. And he's
still
showing, yeah, pretty much. I just got it off only a couple of days ago. But it feels remarkably better. And if you forget what it's like to not, when you're in a boot and you're only walking in a boot for that long, you forget what it's like to be a little bit free and not have to lug that thing around. I'm so glad to be done with it.
Omar, let me ask you a question. Are you surprised that Josh's muscles atrophy quickly? Is that a surprise to you?
God damn it. I set myself up again and I don't like it. Let me tell you
also
what happened.
He was out of boot for 5 days.
Answer that stupid question. So we were watching the news, and you know how they have the last news stories, like a feel-good story?
Yeah.
So my wife and I were watching the news the other day, and they have a feel-good. The feel-good story is that there's this group.
Who watches the news? David, do you watch the news with your wife?
We like the world news. The world
news. Was it Peter Jennings? Walter Cronkite?
They're dead. They're dead.
Was there a fireplace? Was it like one of Ike's fireside chats? Like, who watches the news?
We didn't listen to the news on the radio. We like
understand.
To watch.
I don't
we
watch like the news on TV.
I bet you that not one of our listeners, you know, that sorry lot.
You're wrong.
Listens, watches the news.
You're
what
wrong.
What time do you dial in?
6:30 is the world news on ABC, CBS, and NBC. We watch ABC. We like David Muir for some reason.
But you sit and watch with your wife. You sit and watch
the
news.
Yeah, we like it. We like the world news. What I don't like is the feel-good story. And so the feel-good story comes on. Isn't that weird?
Unbelievable.
The feel-good. First of all, what I've also learned is they also
you are third hole.
There's a storm constantly somewhere in the United States that they're tracking that's going to ruin everyone's lives. And so that is getting a little too repetitive for me. But this one was there was this group, charitable group, and they're teaching all these kids how to swim. Right, who otherwise would not have.
And the kids don't have arms or legs. And
no.
And they're all named Matt.
No, that would be teaching them how to float. And they'd be named Bob. Yes, there you go. Let me correct your joke. But the announcer,
sorry, damn it.
The announcer of the story, the reporter of the story says, you know, they're teaching these kids how to swim. They want to teach more kids in the community how to swim because not enough learn. The number one cause of death for kids 4 and under is drowning.
Wait, is ethnicity? Hold on. Is this ethnicity specific?
No. No,
I don't know.
Don't do that to me. I know what you're doing. Don't do it. I'm not going to step in your little bear trap. But anyway, so the reporter says the number one cause of death for kids 4 and under is drowning. And my wife says, oh my God, that's awful. And I said, no, it's not.
No, good
it's
for
not
you.
Awful at all. And she says, what are you talking about?
I said, actually number one.
Right. That's what I said. I go, there has to be a number one cause of death.
What was a grizzly bear?
Under. Might as well be drowning.
What was a clown from It?
Yeah. Good doesn't news, honey. It's shaken baby syndrome. Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense that it's drowning? It makes sense. What else is going to kill a kid under 4?
The drowning clown from is it. It's great.
I would think car accidents would be more common. I don't believe the statistic.
Well, that's what they said. That's what the statistic
was. Speaking of car accidents, wait till you hear Dave's topic.
Well played.
Thank you. Just for the record, you don't know what my topic is, but it could still
there
be a car wreck.
Yeah. I think he's predicting.
I could be drowning.
But I want to put a ribbon on this. But right. Look, am I wrong here? That's not a bet. There's always going to be a number one, right? So no matter what you say, it's going to be a killer of kids 4 and under. And no one's going to – it's not good. No one wants 4 and under kids killed. But it has to be something. Something's got to be the number one reason, number one cause
well,
of
Well, I wish it was
death.
They – died peacefully in their sleep. Like somehow.
Really? I don't want that. You want that
well,
to be the number one.
If I had to be number
reason,
one, I want that
for
to
kids
be...
four and under to die peacefully in their sleep. No. Then it would be like, why are all these kids dying in their sleep at four?
But it's more humane. I don't want them to suffer. Well, yes, drowning seems like a humane, terrible way to go.
Yes. Yeah. I suppose I would like lightning strikes to be number one because they're so rare. And then it'd be like, okay, these kids really, kids of this age never die.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Yeah. Like 4-year-old kids are very, what is it, conductive? Or, you know, they have to watch out. They have to stay inside when it storms because lightning will particularly go after 4-year-olds. That would be.
They love metal hats. Those kids love metal hats.
Yeah, they do.
They love them.
They really do.
Anyway, all right. So that's that. But I thought.
Wait, is your leg all better? What's the story?
It's not all better. I still have. I have to be no activity for 4 weeks. And
that's your life. That's every day of your life.
It is not
my
life. We've been through this before. In 2 weeks, I can start jogging, and then 2 weeks after that, I can start.
When your wife says, "Oh my God," about the number one thing, is that why you guys are married? Because you react to when she says that.
How long have you known me? A long time. If anyone says anything like that, I'm going to react to it.
Yeah.
It's just
I can't help myself. Is that one of the things that she loves about you, I guess?
I think it is. I think it is. I think she loves when I call
her. She doesn't say like, "Oh my gosh, not this again."
Probably.
That's how you've been married that long, is that she doesn't do that where a normal person would.
Listen, I'm not coming from a position of strength. It's so hard to make an argument that drowning is good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I'm doing in a very warped way.
Like, but I think your comment is fair. There has to be a number one.
It has to be a number one.
It really is nonsensical to shrug off. Yeah. I think you're in the right. But.
It's like states. You know, something's got to be last in education. Someone's got to be number one in murder.
Yeah.
Right? Baltimore.
There you go. Congrats, Baltimore. Anyway, that's how I'm doing.
All right. Omar, it's good to see you. It's been a long time. How are you doing?
Oh, gross.
Sorry. Well, I was thinking, like, do you think that, like, we always apologize for not having our drops on time, right? Do you think that absence makes a heart grow, the ear grow fonder? Do you think our listeners look for our updates on every Monday or Tuesday or whenever we drop them? Or do you think they really don't care? Some of them. Do you think some people look forward to our drops? Do you think, Josh, are you hearing feedback from our audience?
So, yeah, I do hear feedback. And so, first, I'm only seeing half your face. I don't know why you're so close to the thing. Give me some more. Everyone wants more Omar. They don't want a half Omar. They want more Omar. That's the first feedback. More Omar, stay on camera. Second feedback is, yeah, I think that there's some frustration that we're not getting them out in a timely manner. And it's hard to explain, but I'm just hoping they don't forget about us. But that's why we have social media, and that's why we're posting every single day. So check it out.
So I am at my sister's house.
Yes.
In Maryland. I'm here because my mom had a shoulder replacement surgery, and she's doing well now. Thank you for asking. And however, while she's recovering, she's staying at my sister's house, which is this beautiful house next to like some park where they ride horses.
Why is she not staying at her house?
Because she's 85 and needs help.
Okay.
Someone to take care of her.
Okay.
And help her with recovery and everything else. Right.
Is your dad with her?
Correct. Yes. My dad took a shower today, by the way. First time in 7 days.
Don't skip over that.
Well, we can get back to that in a second.
Okay. All right.
So this actually is related to it. Coincidentally. Okay. Ironically, it's not the right word to use, as you guys know, which most people would use that word.
Yeah.
So my sister's house is this, you know, beautiful place, windows, great lighting.
Windows. It has windows.
Great lighting, big windows, blah, blah, blah. My sister, my parents' place, it's not so much.
We've seen your parents' place. It's covered in crap.
Well, actually, that's something else I dealt with 3 days ago.
Oh, geez.
But the bigger issue is this, a question for you guys. The shower at my sister's house, they use well water.
Yeah, so do we. Why do you keep inching up to the camera?
I cannot deal with well water. I hate soft water. It doesn't feel like the soap's coming off your body at all. So my parents' house has regular, you know, first world water.
Yes.
Right? This isn't like the, you know, like the Renaissance. You know, so I drive to shower at my parents' house.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
How far away is it?
20 minutes.
You drive 20 minutes.
Yep.
Take a shower.
Yep.
Come back.
Correct.
That's ridiculous.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. By the way, I'm gonna inform you on something.
What?
Not all well water is like that.
I was going to say, well water is not like that. By definition, soft, right?
That's correct.
No, it's not. You can get, well water, it depends on your well and your aquifer where the water's pulling from, what type of water it is. You can have hard water from.
Your what?
Your aquifer. Listen, do you know what?
David, did you hear what he said? Aquifer?
Aquifer. He might have used it correctly. I don't know.
I used it correctly.
Is that a character from Lord of the Rings?
Is
that the elf?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because it seems on the surface that you're making fun of me, but in reality, it's your ignorance that's really shining here.
Aquifer?
Aquifer.
I never heard of an aquifer. I never want to know what aquifer is. That means I've given up on my life.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay.
It also means you didn't attend a science class in high school.
No, it means I have an aquifer. You know what it means? It means I have a pool guy.
Do with a pool.
Aquifer.
Aquifers are water deep within in the Earth's surface.
Yeah, I want the definition.
Water table. It's like a water table.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
This is Lord of the Rings. Is that where the Aquaforians come from?
Yes.
Josh is pretty close to that. It's a body of permeable rock that can contain or transmit groundwater. That's pretty good, Josh.
Thank you. Maybe if you had well water, you would know. I want you to ask your sister what an aquifer is. I bet you she knows because she's on well water.
I will. I bet you she has no idea. You want to know why?
Yeah. Why? I can't think of anything funny to say.
Sorry, it's a shame. It's set up so well.
Set up so well.
But it's the water softener. Like, right? Every once in a while, we put pellets into the water softener thing, and then we take a shower. And I hate this. Why are we doing that? Why do we do that?
So the
save the dishes?
Well, no, because hard water has what is that? What do you got? A coyote in your house? Hard water has minerals in it. And when it's too much, it could be, detrimental.
To your body, to your shower, to your pipes.
I don't think Josh has any idea what he's talking about. Right? To be clear,
you know what?
To your body, to your shower.
It's funny. Of course.
I don't actually know, but I hate soft water.
You don't want horrible hard water.
Do you know what an aquifer is?
What did she say?
My brother-in-law knows what it is.
Of course he knows what it is.
It's in the car.
He's not ignorant. And he also probably got something better than a C- in science class in high school.
He's a doctor. Yes, he did.
Thank you. All right. Anyway. So let's get back to what you were just saying. What are you having side conversations? Where are you going?
He needs a key to the – here you go. Sorry.
This is right in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, we're living life right in the middle of our episode.
It's amazing.
Listen, I'm right now. I'm pretty much Dupree. Okay, remember me, you, and Dupree.
Me, and Dupree. Yeah, what a great movie. That's funny. So let me ask you something. So you said your dad took a shower first time in 7 days. Did he go home also with you to back to the house to take a shower, or did he do it at your sister's house?
Independently, he went. No, he went home.
He went home because of the same reason.
No, I think it's because he was kind of wearing the same outfit.
So he needed new clothes. He needed more clothes.
Yes.
So he figured I'll take a shower while I'm home with hard water. Yeah, I hear you. By the way, the bigger problem with well water is not the softness. The bigger problem is the pressure.
Oh, the pressure. Yeah.
Yes. But so I had to have, when I first moved into my house, because this is the first house I ever had with well water. The pressure was so weak. I'm like, I had to call them back. I'm like, you can't leave me with this. I can't do it. Because I like a shower like it's like a tsunami. Like it pushes me against the wall. Like I have to fight.
What's more important
to
you, the temperature? The temperature, the hotness of the water, or the pressure? You either pick one.
Oh, God. So in other words, if
it's 100 points, I'll give you 50. It's okay. To pressure and temperature, what do you
need? I'm going to go 60-40 pressure to temp.
Oh, man. That's a good question.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do not want to take cold shower. I think it's
that's not cold though. That's 40%. That's not bad.
I want super hot.
I'm 50.
I need scalding.
So you would rather have it trickling out at scalding than heavy pressure
I'm 60-40, 65-35. I want scalding hot water.
Okay, yeah. So your temperature first. You're 65, 35 temperature.
I'm 50-50. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Dave's 50-50. Once in a while, it's, again, Seinfeld episode.
Even Steven.
Right in the middle. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, makes sense. Interesting. So, is that the Omar, longest your dad's ever gone, 7 days?
No.
No. Wow. All right.
Omar, did you shower with your father like Josh's friend does with his son?
For those who don't remember, I have a buddy of mine that I went to college with. And it's funny because he just listened to that episode and texted me out of the blue. He's like, oh my God, you talked about this? I'm like, yeah. We found out at one of our annual retreats that he still showers with his kids who are way too old to be showering.
How old are they?
I don't remember. Like 7, 9, something like that. It's just too, it's too old. It's too old. And he's still doing it, by the way. I mean, even after we shamed him, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I don't think Omar's showering with his 80-year-old dad. Are you, Omar?
That would be... No.
Okay,
no.
That's good. And, that's good news.
Yeah, but so there was that. So I was thinking, what would be the distance where I would not drive, right?
Oh.
Right.
And, can I ask you this, by the way, first, before you answer that? Did you try taking a shower at your sister's house first and went, this doesn't work?
I have before, but not on this trip, no.
Okay. But you already knew the experience.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Correct.
So what's the distance you'll go?
I think if it was 1 or 2 more miles, I wouldn't do it. Very close.
So that's real close.
Right on the border. Wow.
That's right on the border.
Really yeah. 1 or 2 more minutes, I should say.
Are you going every day? Have you? How long have you been?
Yeah. I go twice a day.
You're showering twice a day?
Yeah.
Why don't you just stay at your parents' house?
No, because there's nobody else there.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't shower hardly at all.
No.
I'm confused. We need to go back to the tape.
No, I didn't wash my hair.
He doesn't wash his hair. He doesn't wash his hair. He showers, but he doesn't wash his hair.
Correct. Although that's changed.
You're so confused.
I'm really trying to make some different life decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What I've noticed is when you bring up topics and then Dave and I jump all over you, it's when you've reassessed them.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking our feedback and applying what you learn? Is that true?
It depends on what it is.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Right. Well,
not everything we say is meant to be for your benefit. So it's good that you're
deciding. I think the washing hair thing sort of resonated with me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did. It sounds like it did.
Well, also having an itchy scalp.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Which is honestly a metaphor for how I think about you two.
Yeah. Thank you.
Itchy scalp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear
like
you.
Flakes that never
makes
go
sense.
Away. Yeah.
Makes sense. All right, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm glad you asked. I'm doing okay. I want to give you, I think Omar maybe asked me an update on my life coach situation. Can I give you just a quick update on my life coach?
You want to remind everyone? It was an episode a little while ago.
Yeah, it was an episode. So I started, that was my New Year's resolution was to get a life coach.
Right.
Which I did. I started, I think January 1, I think my first appointment was on New Year's Day. I mean, I was ready to get going.
Who works on January 1st?
My life coach, she is ready to go. We've been meeting almost weekly for 6 months. And I have to tell you, I am a big fan of it because...
Are you meeting in person or is it Zoom?
It's half and half. It's try to meet in person, we can. But travel and stuff happens, so we do virtual. And I think it is really working out. There are things, I mean, some things are like you would say, well, that's something that everyone should know. But when you don't do it, you don't realize it and you need to hear it. And one is which has been one of the most impactful for me, is that if someone asks me to do something, I should react by saying, that's really interesting. Let me get back to you.
Mm.
Like that's a big change in my life to say, I haven't been very successful in that, but it's there to say.
Wait. When they ask you to do something or when they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to?
No, to do something. Would you serve on this committee? Would you do this project? Would you come over to my house? Would you help me paint? Like, oh, that's like, let me get back to you. Just in the moment, my reaction is to say yes.
Yeah.
And I get myself trapped into all kinds of things. And then
so
get back.
When the wife says, Dave, can you take out the trash? Do you say, that's interesting. Let me think about it and get back to you.
Yeah. So it doesn't work in every instance.
Yeah, right.
When the frying pan hits me in the back of the head, I realize I've got to reassess that one. But It's very good. But along those lines, and by the way, if anyone wants a life coach, you should email us and I'll give you her contact information because she's fabulous and I would highly recommend her.
That's a hard pass for me.
Well, yeah, you...
I have my shit together.
You could use some coaching. There's no question. I don't think you'd be a good recipient of the information. But one of the things that I've been tasked to do is to do something out of my comfort zone. Ooh. And I don't know, did I mention this? I am this close to signing up for improv classes.
No.
Did I talk to you about that?
No.
So there's a place in town here where it's... One is like a one-time kind of workshop, 2 hours or whatever. You go and you leave. And I feel like, that's like going to an escape room or something. Like it's ha-ha and then you leave. It's no big deal.
Right.
There's another where it's a six-week deal. And at the end of it, you put on a show. You know,
No.
Right?
Oh, no.
She really wants me to do that as a way of like stretching myself and taking myself out of the comfort zone. And I really want to do it, but I'm so scared. I can't. I find reasons where I can't either travel or... So I need to like speak it out loud to you guys to keep me accountable that I'll go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
Very hard. I mean, I dated a comedian and I thought I really looked into doing this because I have a natural
comedy.
Well, that's two different things. Two different things.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Those are two very, very different things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I talked to her about doing both, trying both, which we've got to be better at.
Yeah.
And then just like the relationship, the conversation fizzled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The life of the comedian was too hard for me to date. David, if you were doing this, we were together, I would break up with you.
Well, I'm not doing it to become a comedian. I'm not, this isn't a life like change I'm thinking of, but it's part of my evolution of improving myself is to do something.
He wants to develop skills.
Yes.
Do you think that David has the mental agility to be able to do improv?
Josh, don't answer that if that's negative.
Wait, I'm not going to answer it. So, so look, here's what I would tell you.
I think you should do it. I think it's a great idea.
I was the complete opposite. I think it's a bad move.
Why?
Why?
Improv class?
It's fun.
First of all, I have to think that it's going to be a weird bunch. It's going to be an improv class.
Of course.
And then if you're going to do a 6-week program.
Wait, have you seen the people that David works with?
I'm one of them.
Seriously, I guarantee you, if you created a lineup like Usual Suspects, of David Steen versus this potential class of improv, you couldn't tell a difference.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
What?
When you start something new like this, it doesn't matter what it is. Forget if it's improv or not. You are now entering a whole new universe of text chains, of social settings, of invitations, blah, blah, blah.
You think? Because
yes.
It's just a class. Maybe I meet some friends or I'm not. I mean, there's a reality. There's a multiverse, a universe out there where I go and they're like, oh, my gosh, you are awesome. Can you do Saturday nights on a regular show? Like you have those visions. but the most likely is some good ones, some bad ones. And then, have a show. Everyone thinks it's funny. I have a good topic for the podcast and I've grown through the process.
I changed my answer. For the purposes of the podcast, I would like you to do this. Never mind. Strike everything
fun.
I said.
Now, what I'm scary.
You do know where I'm going with this is that you now have opened the door to all these people who are going to want to contact you and invite you to shit that you don't want to.
Is that
to.
A bad thing?
Yeah, for me it is. I don't want to be invited to stuff. And here's the other problem. Actually, I do want to be invited. I don't want to go. That's the big difference.
Yeah, that's yeah.
The other problem is that consider the group. You're going to get some weird ones in this group.
But that's the point. I think that is the point. Yes.
All right.
I know my group and I have my tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm kind of solid in there. But if I'm going to stretch myself in ways, I mean, life coach isn't going to tell you, you know what you're doing? Do exactly the same thing over and over. Or, like, they're going
to try. Of course
not.
They want to get paid. They
want
to get paid.
They want you to grow. And they want you to be. I think she senses in me that I'm dying on the inside with my career. Like, I need to be expressing myself in different ways. I think she's.
You're going to pull. It's Michael. Remember when Michael Scott did this on The Office?
He did join
the improv group. Yeah. Listen, if this takes off and you join the Groundlings, then I think this is a wild success, and she's 100% right. I just don't see that happening.
Okay, let me ask you this, Dave. Josh, which one of us do you think has the best, ability to be have a flourish in that role?
Well, look, you didn't know what an aquifer was, so I'm going to rule you out right there.
Okay, I mean, fair.
You kind of need to know what everything is, or else you can't react.
Aquifer is where aquiforians are from.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually think Omar would be good at it. Josh, I think you're more of a I think you need something to react off of.
Yeah,
you have material. I think you're more of a student of it.
I think
Omar would be better on the fly.
He's a C student.
Maybe a C student.
Here's my issue though. I can't go to the weird areas where they're doing like the
Can I tell you what I did the other day?
You know, the exercises, the vocal. I can't get myself to do that correctly.
I had a call with this guy who tells me that this guy's Indian. Okay. I have two partners. Okay. One's in Beijing and the other one's he's a Chinese guy in the way, and I was an American, a white guy who lives in San Francisco. I go, okay, cool. I go, you know what? You need to change the name of your firm immediately. He goes, what? I go, yes, it's him and his COO. I'm going to say this to you once, and you're welcome. Why Chindia? It's the greatest name for an asset manager
I've
ever heard in my life.
It's awful.
It's so good. David, do you get it?
This is your example of improv.
I get it.
Creativity. Why Chindia?
Yeah. Okay. No sway. Well, I think you often take three words and
you smash them
together and then become, that's my great idea.
That's your thing.
Is it?
That's your thing. You smash words together.
Yeah. And call it brilliant.
And you call it improv.
Smash.
All right. So for the purposes of this podcast, I would love for you to do this, David, and report back to us.
I think, David, you're going to be very good at it, David.
I think it'll be fun. The point isn't that I got an A in the class, it would be more to grow. So
I hear you.
Yeah, well, I think grow is a bit of a stretch. I think it's more addressing the dying inside part.
Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough. That's I see that as one of the
improv is in effect throwing you a life preserver. Okay. You're not gonna all of a sudden start flying. Let's be out of the ocean, to be clear. Right now you're underwater. I'm gonna get you back to half.
There you go.
Get my nose above water.
Yeah, that's a good motivation right there, Dave.
Unreal. I think he'll be very good at it.
All right. Well, more to come on that then. All right. Well, let's kick off the episode. We have an email that we'd like to go through, we'll go through in a minute. But as I said, we're on episode 3. You've already found us in your
podcast. Did you say episode 3?
73, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that's what editing is for, Josh.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you are missing us between episodes, you can find us in lots of ways. You could email us at friends@fts.media. We'd love that. We have a website called friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And then our biggest hit, because Josh is on it, man, this guy is a social media king. We're on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Look up at Friends Talking Shop. And, if you can't handle us in long form, the TikTok, the Instagram, that's, you're getting
small
that
doses.
Small doses of the humor that we're providing.
Yeah.
It's all out there. So and I guess it's growing, right?
It is growing. It's great.
Are we ready to mention the song?
Well, we're going to kind of give – we have a special surprise. We kind of floated it out there on an Instagram and TikTok post. But, maybe we're going to liven things up, change up the music a little bit. We got something that we've been working on in the studio. So we'll – I think you've heard it if you were a subscriber. But, maybe we'll add it to this. To this episode itself.
All right. So,
let us know what you think.
Have you got unbiased feedback?
Yes.
That song.
Yes.
Is a hit.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Are you gonna? Is it your topic? Can you describe the song? Can you?
I can't describe the song. It's. I'm gonna have to. You guys will just hear it. Everyone will just hear it. I'll play it at the end of the episode in full. How about that?
All right.
So everyone can get a good listen. But I played it for a couple people that I know are listeners that I trust that normally are incredibly critical, and they loved it.
So are you saying that you think this song can be the equivalent of Rob Zombie's song he wrote for Howard Stern?
Ah, so funny you say that. Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
This is some next-level shit. Next-level shit.
I don't – okay. Well, you know what? We'll leave it to –
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Right. When you hear the song, you can hear it on Instagram on this podcast. But yeah, email us at friends.
FTS. Yeah, we are growing and we need something with a little more.
So Josh, where did your, I know your brain is somewhat linear, right?
What's that on so far?
So how did you start thinking about this idea?
Listen, we have to get this podcast going. I just thought, like, for someone who's editing 72 episodes, I thought it's getting a little stale. We need to liven it up a little bit.
I appreciate that. All right.
Yeah. I like our intro music. I like our outro music. But you know what? Sometimes you need just liven it up a little bit, a little refresh. That's all.
I think that's a winner.
That's what got me down that road.
Don't fast forward. Wait till the episode's over and you'll hear the song.
You'll hear the song. Right.
Yep. So let's kick off the episode as we normally do. Each of us comes together with each of us a topic. Apparently not all of them are winners, according to Josh and his family, but we come up with topics the best we can. And we discuss it and see if we can solve it or make fun of it or what have you.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off. We have not changed the format since the beginning. Josh, you want to go first this week?
Yeah, I can go first. So my mom loves the show CBS Sunday Morning. You ever see that show? It's really skews to a much older crowd.
Yeah,
because it's on at like the crack of dawn on CBS on Sundays, like, you know, when the rest of the world is sleeping. But she tapes it and she watches it every week. And so when we go to the beach, we're at their house. Usually you can find that she's watching it sometime on Sunday before we're all as we're all getting breakfast or whatever. But she was watching it the other day. And I happened to just say, there was a story that was interesting. So I sat down with her to watch it. And then the next story popped up and I went, holy shit, this is weird. And so I don't know if you guys know this, but I found this out through the story. Maybe people know. Maybe it's more, you have more awareness than I did. But obviously the Olympics are coming up, right? We have the Summer Olympics in Paris, which actually should start in a week or two. Actually start pretty soon. And I love the Olympics. I think I've talked about this in previous episodes. But they're adding a new, quote-unquote, sport this time around. Do you know what it is?
Ultimate Frisbee?
No.
Padel.
No. And I'm not making this up, by the way. This is a sport.
Cockfighting.
No.
What about Quidditch? Quidditch?
That's
on college campuses. They play that.
It is on college campuses. It's also quite stupid. But anyway, the answer is, because you're going to guess forever, break dancing.
Oh.
Break dancing is now a sport in the Olympics.
It.
You do?
Well, it's better synchronized swimming, right? That's
okay. All right. First of all, they don't even call it break dancing anymore. It's called breaking. Okay. So it's not break dancing like you and I knew it. It's breaking. And let me just first say, before I jump into this, that I like breakdancing, or I used to like breakdancing.
Yeah.
I loved when it first came out. I remember I asked for the holidays for my parents to get me a breakdancing kit, which basically was this box that had a piece of foldable cardboard and then these like diagrams on how to do certain moves. It was utterly ridiculous. And I had a record player and I would try it. But it's also another subjective sport, and I've talked about this in the past too, with subjectivity and sports, how I don't like it, because I like things that are, you don't question who the winner is.
Yeah.
In other words, you play soccer, you put it in the net more than the other team, you won the game, and no one questions it, right? But when you have subjectivity, it's so hard. And I'm a little hypocritical because I love gymnastics.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A little hypocritical. And so I like gymnastics. And so it's like, okay, that's subjective too. But at least there's like boundaries. Like if you don't land the landing, we all know that that's some point deduction or whatever. It's not perfect. Or you step out of the mat, the floor, on the floor exercises. Okay, fine. I get it. But breakdancing is like, what? What are we talking about here? So it's such a bizarre sport to add. And here's what's crazy. So there's a lot of countries participating. I looked it up. All right. And it's very funny because everyone who's participating, they list all the competitors from all the different countries. They all have breakdancing names. They're B-boys or B-girls.
I love that.
Isn't it hilarious? And they're not, there's no like, you know, normal name like you see in every other sport. So these are some of the names, by the way, on the men's side. You have X-Rain, Zoo, Gravity, Quake.
There's no He Hate Me.
And then this is the funniest one. The guy from Norway, you know what his B-boy name is?
Thor.
Daniel. I don't think he got the memo. Everyone's got these cool names. And then it's Daniel from Norway.
In Norway, no one is named Daniel, so that probably is the gravity.
Maybe that's it. And on the women's side, it's hilarious. There's G-Clef, there's Lavix, there's Swami, Starry, Spider Girl. And then from Ukraine, Kate.
it's an individual. I guess it would be individual.
It's individual.
Don't they, like, I was thinking street performers, they'll like have a whole crew of people. But
it's individual. It's individual. So the first question I have, and then I want to play a little game with you guys.
All right.
I think you've kind of already answered. Do you like this? I find this to be totally ridiculous. It's dancing. It's not a sport. It's not anything. I mean, you have to be athletic to do it, obviously, but it's not an Olympic event in a purest sense of the word.
I'm kind of interested to see what level is it an Olympic, you know, skilled event. Like, what is the top breakdancer do?
Yeah.
Of the world that's made it. Like, can they, I mean, if they just moonwalk, I'm like, all right.
The moonwalking's not breakdancing.
Well, it's in that, or they do the worm, you know, is that like, yeah, that's,
yeah. Well,
I've
they
seen
spin
that
on their head.
Wedding.
You know, you spin on your head.
Sure, we've seen that, but like, it's like, this guy can spin his head and launch himself 10 feet in the air. Like, you know, what is it that they can do that is really special? So I want to see it once. It may take 2 minutes for me to realize this is stupid. But there's a chance it might actually be interesting. So I'm in for at least 15 minutes of watching.
Omar?
And also, are they wearing like breakdancing outfits? Like, are they wearing like parachute pants?
I don't know. I assume so.
Great question.
I haven't seen any of this yet. I'm actually very curious as to what it's going to look like and how it's going to work. But
aren't the Olympics in the U.S. this year? Or the World Cup.
They're in Paris.
What is that? When is it?
Paris
when are
is
Olympics?
A city in France. It's a city in France.
No, when are the Olympics?
August.
Like in a week or two. Are you paying attention?
Oh, it's happening this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. The Summer Olympics are this summer.
But I don't understand because they just announced this breakdancing thing recently.
No, I'm sure it was announced a while ago when they put out the list of Olympic events.
Okay, got it.
I just found
confused.
Out about it when
Excuse
it,
me.
My
sorry,
mom
sorry.
Was watching the show and they did a piece on it. See what I'm saying?
Did you guys ever breakdance when you were kids?
You know what? This is – okay. Stop. Time out. You're not listening to anything we friggin' say.
Is that true?
I started off this topic by telling you that I got a breakdancing kit when I was a little kid for the holidays.
Yeah.
I even described the kit, the whole nine, and that would have given you a slight clue that I liked breakdancing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Which was the exact question you just asked.
You're right. I apologize. Yeah. David, do you have anything to add here?
You don't listen. You don't listen.
Anyway.
I have never tried to break dance. I think I've tried to do the worm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it. You could do that part. The robot. No. Yeah, that's the part I can do. Yeah. The stuff where you get on the ground and spin, like, there's zero chance.
My back.
Yeah, I tore my calf just planting my foot. You think I'm going to spin on my head? You're out of your mind.
It's right.
So Omar, are you for this or against it? Would you watch it?
I'm for it. I'm 100% for it.
Wow.
100%.
Interesting. All right. It doesn't seem – like, look, if there was a breakdancing competition, a world competition by itself on TV, I think I'd be like, okay, I want to tune in and watch. The fact that it's part of the Olympics makes me like – it's not an Olympic event.
I would love to have an America's Got Talent kind of competition by country.
That's called America's Got Talent.
No. They compete against India's Got Talent and whatever, and those are judged.
They had that. Do you know they had that?
At the Olympics? At the Olympics?
No, not at the Olympics. But they
I mean
did
at
that.
The Olympics.
But it could
some
be
of those, some of those performances at those types of shows are really super amazing.
Yeah. They are, but here's what we're talking – listen, stop. Let me take a step back. You're giving away medals for first, second, and third place.
Yes.
You have something so subjective as a magician going against a parkour kid. How are you going to How are you going to give a medal to one over the other?
Well, that's what you do. It's look,
no.
The Olympics, it's not a mandatory thing. This is sports is entertainment. I agree with Omar.
And controversy is always interesting.
That's true.
Yes.
Did you hear the parkour guy? He got robbed.
Yeah. But at least with breakdancing, they're both doing the same activity, and you subjectively say this one's better at it than this one. You can't have two different people doing two entirely different things and saying one's better than the other.
Every country, you got one chance to throw someone up there that can do something interesting. And what do you got? The whole country, you got to find out.
You know what I could do when I was younger? I could put like 40 quarters on my elbow and catch them. Once.
Yes, I could do that too. Not 40. I couldn't do 40.
You wouldn't medal for that.
Yeah, I could do two or three.
High ball meeting contest.
That seems like an embellishment.
Have you heard about the enhanced games? Have you heard about that?
Yes, we talked about it last episode. Oh, my God.
But do you know what the other sports are that's being added to the Olympics? There's three others.
What else is
breaking,
being added?
Surfing, which is fair. Skateboarding and climbing.
Okay. Well, skateboarding's been there.
Well, it says it's new.
It's not new. It's probably
the Olympics.
It's probably
– That's X Games you're thinking of.
No. Skateboarding was an Olympic event last summer games.
I'm looking at an article right here that says the four new sports are surfing, skateboarding, sport climbing, and breaking.
It might have been an exhibition sport. They put in those exhibition sports. All right. Okay. All right. So along those lines, Dave, Omar, along those lines, I'm going to give you a quick quiz, a quick game.
Oh.
I'm going to give you an Olympic event. And you're going to tell me whether it was a real Olympic event in a previous Olympics or it's not. It's never been an Olympic event.
Wait. Hold on a second. Are you implying that there have been previous Olympic events that were then disbanded?
There's a ton of them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. David, did you know that? I thought once you're in, it's like being a teacher at a college. You have like 10, you don't get kicked out. You're just there.
There used to be Olympic softball. Softball's not an Olympic event anymore.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. Okay. There used to be Olympic baseball, actually. Remember Olympic baseball?
Oh, that's gone.
That's
gone.
Not there anymore? No.
There's an Olympic – we're getting into the an area.
Okay,
there's
let's
an
go.
Olympic
come on,
committee
come on.
Which decides this shit.
Yeah. I'm sure there are not corrupt, but go on.
They're very corrupt. I'm going to name
this is fun.
You tell me, was
there
it
a buzzer?
The
is there a buzzer?
No. I'm going to ask each of you individually.
Okay.
Tug of war. Was tug of war ever in the Olympics? What do you guys think?
It was at the Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah, that's not the Olympics. That's the Battle of Network Stars.
Okay. It was at the Laugh Olympics.
The Laugh Olympics is a cartoon.
Yeah. It was in Squid Games.
It was Squid Games is a reality show.
Pretty good, huh? You're very good. Can you get
I'm giving two. Yeah.
Was Tug of War ever in the Olympics? I'm asking you a question.
I'll say no.
Omar?
No.
It was. Tug of War was an Olympic event. It was last done in 1920.
Okay.
I'll give you another one. Rope climb. Yes.
Yes.
Omar says
yes. It was in 1932, rope climb. I'll give you another one. Rock, paper, scissors.
Rochambeau.
Was that an Olympic event?
No.
Dave?
I want to be wrong on everyone, so I'm going to say yes.
It was not an Olympic event. That's utterly ridiculous.
I'm 0-3.
Dave. I can't believe you did that.
By the way, I am very good at that game. I have like a 72% win. I am.
Yeah.
No,
I am. I beat people the other day at it.
You win 50% of the time, evidence. Just like everybody else.
I'm pretty good at Rochambeau as well.
Because I know people are going to throw.
Well, the way I play, rock beats everything. So that's crushes, scissors.
You're like Bart Simpson.
Blast through paper.
Good old rock.
Good old rock. How about croquet? Did they ever do croquet in the Olympics?
Yes.
Yes.
They did. Yeah, that's right. How about distance plunging?
Distance plunging.
Is this when you get a light, when you have a stuck toilet? What is this?
Nope. Distance plunging is diving into the ocean, and then you cannot – move your hands or feet, and then wherever you pop up is your distance.
Well, I'll say yes, because I don't think you'd have come up with that on your own.
Correct. It is.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the craziest part. You want to hear the craziest part about distance plunging? It was last done in 1904, and only the U.S. participated. There were no other countries that did it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was in spring in St. Louis, actually, Dave. How about that? St. Oh, Louis Olympics. How about cheese rolling? Was cheese rolling ever an Olympic sport?
I'm going to say yes.
Me too. Omar?
No, of course not. That's ridiculous. How about a swimming obstacle race? So you swim, but there's obstacles in your way.
No.
No.
Yeah, that was an Olympic event.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Like sharks?
No, no sharks. It was a like a barrier that you had to swim under, and then it was two boats that you had to go over, go back
really?
To swimming. Yeah. How about wife carrying?
I'll say no to that one.
Omar?
No.
No, it was not. Ostrich racing?
No.
Omar?
How long have the Olympics been around for?
It's in the 1800s.
Yes.
Ancient Greece.
Yes.
No, it is not. And here's the last one. Solo synchronized swimming.
Yes.
Solo.
No.
One person.
No.
It was. Isn't that insane? In 1984 was
that's
the last
breakdancing on out of water.
It's not breakdancing. But well, how do you do synchronized swimming with one person?
Have you ever danced alone? Right? I mean, that's basically what you're doing.
Hey,
right?
Hey, that's
changing my answer.
That's the Billy Idol competition.
<That's> a, I am changing my answer, Dave. I need you to do that improv class. You definitely need to get out. There's no question. I need you to do that improv class.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, So look out for breakdancing. I think it's utterly ridiculous, but we'll see if
we'll
if
have
I'm,
to come back
if
to
I'm
it
right
after
or wrong.
We've watched it. We got to watch it. To get, yeah. Watch it together. All right, Omar, let's hear your topic this week.
So I had a couple of ideas for topics, right? And then something really interesting happened when me being home. And basically, it's my mother had surgery, so we're in the hospital with her when she's recovering. And my sisters ask her, the grandkids are there too.
Mm-hmm.
They ask her, who's your favorite?
What?
Who's your favorite?
Were they kidding around? Was it a joke?
No.
They asked your mother post-surgery, mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. her favorite child?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's still slightly under anesthesia?
Well, at the time, she was coming out of it. So we asked her multiple times.
Yeah.
And she had a very definitive answer.
She did?
Definitive answer.
She didn't even think about it. She knew right away and she said it.
Yep.
And what did she say?
So I have two sisters and then there's me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
She said me. Yeah. I'm her favorite.
Wow.
Not even close. And I asked my dad.
Yeah.
Has this always been the case?
Yeah.
He's like, yes, of course.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't even deny it?
So, well, I will say this. Okay, a couple of things. Culturally, I'm the only son. Okay, fine. Right? But still.
Right? Okay. Yep.
But I think the reason is because this is my insecurity coming in play, my mom, which is kind of sad, is that because, like, I'm single. So she worries about
me
the most.
You need the boost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Because like there's that saying, which you guys may know, that you're only as happy as your unhappiest kid.
Right. That's
true. Yeah,
right?
That's
so
true.
You really, really want your, you're really worried about your what you might think is your unhappiest kid. Right. Now, this obviously is ironic because I'm single and I live in Puerto Rico and, have a pretty good, decent life. Right?
Yeah. You're a happy guy.
So I guess my question
to
you guys.
You're making your mother miserable.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
The question is like, isn't me asking you guys if I'm worthy, right?
Yeah.
Or if you can see why that she might feel that way. My question is, where do you think you guys rank with your parents?
Okay. This is a great question.
Wait, but your sister listens to this podcast, right?
She
Josh?
Does.
She's, and my sister listens too.
And
she's
do
a big
your
fan.
Do your sisters agree with who they think is your parents' favorite?
It's
if there is one.
It's so funny you bring it up because my sister all the time says in front of me and my parents that she thinks my parents think I'm their favorite. She says it constantly. And I don't know if she's doing it to guilt them for what she's doing, but she is emphatic about it too. Like, Josh is your favorite. Stop cutting the bullshit. And of course, they're unlike your folks. They're like, no, we love you equally. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know if I'm their favorite or not, but
so you're not sure.
She has her explanation. I don't buy into it. I mean, come on, that's crazy. I don't have a favorite.
What does your wife think?
What does my wife think of what?
Does she think that your parents prefer you over your sister?
I don't think she has enough of a history.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah, because my sister's explanation really comes from our childhood of why they think. So my wife wasn't there. So all she
So you're saying the current data points would point to no one preference.
Yeah, and that's how I see it too. The current data points as adults.
Is that how your sister sees it? The current data points?
Probably not. I don't know. That's a good question.
This is really her funny. Argument David.
Her argument always what? Her argument always goes back to us, you know, under the same roof. But before Dave answers, can I just ask you, Omar? How did your sisters take that? How did they react when they heard that?
I think that they always sort of suspected that. And I'm my dad's favorite too.
So they didn't.
I know, right? I don't get it.
Do you think that was always the case, even growing up?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was growing up. And
amazing.
I think being the only son and the youngest is youngest is often the favorite, by the way. Like my nephew, who's he just walked in, he's a punk, but he's the youngest kid.
Yeah.
His parents have him the most.
Yeah.
Well, my sister's younger than me, so that destroys that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm the older one.
Wow.
Dave, what's the deal with your family?
Yeah, I was trying to think how to answer that because first I'll say I do not think my parents have favorites because I can say with my kids, like I cannot determine who my favorite is.
Right.
There are days where if I had to vote on it, like it would constantly change. And I feel like I love them so much. I can't see the distance at the end of it that I can't see which one's further. I would say that my sister probably thinks that I'm a favorite child because I'm the youngest, I'm the son. And part of it is I've gotten a lot of breaks, but my sister has been very instrumental in the breaks that I've gotten. So if she feels like everything falls in my way, part of it, it's her fault. I've had jobs that she's helped me get. She's had friends that she's connected. Like, so if there's any luck that I've had that she's helped propel that. I went to college where she went to college. Like there's all kinds of things that my sister so helped me get through. So but in terms of like my parents, I'm not gonna answer that. I don't think there is a favorite.
So let me ask this, because all of our parents, we're all about the same age. You guys are definitely older than me, but we're all within earshot. But all of our parents are getting up there. Right? They're all getting up there in age. So do you guys, compared to your siblings, do you help take care of your parents more than your siblings? Because that could factor in too.
Yeah, that could. I'll answer that. My sister lives closer, and she does a lot for them, coming by and going out, you know, out of her way. I'm going up to Wisconsin a lot to see them, but you know, I'm 5 hours away.
Yeah.
So it's by just definition, I can't do as much, but she does a ton. So if it was based on that criteria, then she should be the favorite.
Right. Well, Omar, so what happens when your mom has the surgery? Who's the first person? Well, first of all, you know, she went and lived with your sister. So your sister took her in to help her out in recovery. But you flew from Puerto Rico also to help her out. So who got more points for that?
I got there, okay, post-surgery.
Yeah.
All right. And it was like when I walked into the post-op room, I felt like I was a rock walking into an arena. I even said, can anybody hear what I'm cooking? Can anybody smell what I'm cooking? I mean, that was the reaction. And my sisters and my nephews and look who's here. Look who's here. Your favorite. You know, and so like, yeah, so she was perking up when I got there. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is. Now I will say this. Okay. Now, like I'm not going to, I have no axe to grind here. Right. So I have six nephews and nieces. All right. Three female, three male. Am I allowed to even say that genders? I don't even know.
You can, but I think you're
okay.
Allowed. I think
okay. You're all right. So, the point is I asked my mom, who is the funniest of the entire family? In other words, last per minute, pro rata.
Right. And that includes the kids and includes
correct.
Aunts, uncles, correct. Grandparents, everything.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
She said you.
And no, she said my niece. My niece lives in Texas.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, get her on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe she should take your place then.
Is she good with the audio equipment?
Yeah. You know what she's good at? Actually, she's able to create her own momentum, which is an important part of storytelling, because I'm concerned.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
You laugh at your own jokes.
Oh, well, some would say that's you're not supposed
cheating?
To do that. Cheating? Maybe cheating. I don't know.
Yeah. It's.
So you – all right. So let me – was your other sister – so she's staying at your one sister's place. You fly up. Is your other sister there as well?
She's here right now, actually.
Unbelievable. Well that's pretty amazing, by the way.
They live close. Both my sisters live very close. And by the way, the other thing is, which I recommend to all of our listeners, and you too, you two Neanderthals, right?
Yeah.
Is have one of your kids be a doctor. You got to have doctors in the family. My brother-in-law is a doctor.
Yeah.
He's a huge, huge, like when you're in the hospital, you feel so helpless, right?
Well, yes.
And to have someone there who actually has some relationships, whatever is such a thing. What's an interesting data point for you guys, ready for this? Now, this is ironic. Again, I most correct use of the term. Doctors who go into surgery have the higher probability of post-op complications than people who are not doctors.
Wait, what the hell did you say?
If you're a doctor,
getting surgery.
Correct. Because they get overtreated. They get overtreated.
They get overtreated.
Uh-huh. Overtested, overtreated.
Hmm. That doesn't seem right.
Why
to
does that
me.
Yeah, well, translate to post-op?
Yeah.
Because after a surgery, you know, when you got to hemoglobin levels, whatever levels, blah, 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 blah. They're overtesting, always state more blah, but they want to make sure that they're trying to do the most for the doctor.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
They, and they overdo it. It's kind of like Josh on a first date.
Yeah. Did you know drowning is the number one cause of death for most surgeons?
I heard that.
And kids under four.
It's not the clown in the sewer.
It's not the clown. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting though, and you guys have kids, you know, so it's really interesting. See, my mom and I heard this really great quote, and it was Warren Beatty, and I heard it from Jerry Seinfeld. That's what I was doing a second ago, which was this. One of the nice things that God does, he doesn't let people know who don't have kids how much they're missing.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. It's deep.
That is,
because you
is
see
deep.
Kids very in public thoughtful. Spaces and you're like, boy, I'm glad I don't have those kids. Because really the good moments with kids are really behind closed doors.
And the other interesting – well, it depends on if you're a Sandusky or not. But the other interesting data point, by the way,
that's
is this.
Why did you say it like curtains.
That? Ready?
Closed shower curtains.
Yeah. So and this is actually fascinating, okay? Adult parents spend 80% of their time with their kids up until they're 18.
Yeah. Well,
after
that's,
they're 18, it's just 20%.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Such it's
incredible.
A shame. I know. We hear that all the time.
And for both sides,
I must be including sleeping hours, and or on average, that's true. But I heard someone talk that statistic, or you only have 18 summers, or something like that, with them. Or
that was an Eddie Murphy quote.
Oh God,
the Eddie Murphy quote.
Yeah,
what?
But
oh, his quote.
Yeah, which quote are you talking about?
It's 75 summers, 75 autumns. When you look at that, it's not a lot of time, is it? Don't waste them. Eddie Murphy.
Oh, if for your life. I know. When you break it down into those small numbers, that's like, ugh, man. That's
Eddie Murphy
morbid.
Has not gotten – that's not funny.
That's an old man.
Well, yeah. I think it's possible not to have a favorite. Going back to the topic, I think it's possible not to – and I don't even want to go – I don't want to even talk about it because I don't have a favorite with my kids. I don't think I'm a favorite or my sister's a favorite. I'm punting on this topic.
Well, if you do, you certainly shouldn't say it. But it doesn't seem to have affected your sisters negatively. So, I guess it's
all relative, right?
Yeah,
but I will say, the greatest gift that my sisters have given me is they've married well. They've, for the most part, I'm not asking for money. And And more importantly, they stay close to my parents. Right.
There you
and
go.
That's a nice. Really,
that allows
really,
you
yes, right. to be the yeah. waiver.
That allows you. Right.
Yes. Correct.
They clearly there should be the favorite. I can't believe they're not the favorite.
Yeah. They sound like they should be the favorite. First of all, they've given your parents grandkids. Yep. They've brought in, sounds like, exceptional husbands to the mix. And they live close.
My brother-in-laws accompany each other so well.
It's amazing. Do they like
it's
you?
It's amazing. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's funny. When they even started dating my sisters way back, I said to them, my one brother-in-law says in a threatening way, that all I care is that they take care of my sister and like make her happy and be a good husband and blah, 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 blah. But actually, what I really actually realized I was more important is how they treated my parents, which is honestly a bigger thing. So, and I
thought you were going to say that they laughed at your jokes. probably more true.
Yeah.
So,
but go on. Sorry.
So they treat your parents well.
Yes. Oh my God. Like their own.
Like their own. That's nice. Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah. The nephews and nieces are their moments, but, yes. I had a really funny moment with my nephew, which was, really comical, but,
you're
but
not going to tell us.
Well, I was taking a shower and this came in the shower.
I knew it.
And
you're taking a shower with him?
And I screamed.
Wait, what happened? What happened in the shower? I missed it.
I was taking a shower at my parents' house, right?
Yes.
And he comes out. He wasn't even supposed to be there. And I'm thinking I'm there and like kind of like zoning out.
Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, Moo," and I almost gave me a heart attack. So I start screaming at him, like, "What are you doing? Why are you even
here?"
22. So all of a sudden I'm screaming at him and he's screaming back at me.
Yeah.
And then I go, "Wait a second. Can I say something to you?" I'm like, "Look at the scene. I'm naked in the shower yelling. We're yelling at each other.
It's weird.
Amazing.
Is it?"
Well, it's what I said to him. I go, "Every family is nuts. Everyone's complicated. David, God knows you, Kaplan, with your sister whose parents you've got it to like resent her, whatever. Right? Every family's complicated. But the dynamic, this broken orchestra, right, is so lovely. And because you're at the end of the day, you're kind of stuck with each other."
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
And I will say this. With you guys, it's that same like really annoying. You're like an STD, you two.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I can't quit you.
Saying? You can't get rid of it.
All right. Well, maybe one day you'll get some penicillin and we'll be gone. All right.
Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful,
excellent sentiment.
Yeah. Conclusion to your topic. Yes, we're all a broken, beautiful symphony. I think that's
all families. That are.
All families are. All right. Well, mine seems shallow. My topic seems kind of shallow in the light of I'm not going to have Omar go second anymore. Maybe
I talked about breakdancing. How much shallower can it be?
Yeah, I need to follow Josh more than Omar. Well, I had different ideas for topics. I can't get this one out of my head, and I wanted your guys' opinion on it. So I didn't know that we were being judged by your family and your friends, Josh. But I'm going to throw this out here anyway. So I was in Wisconsin and Minnesota this last week, and driving back, I realized the only time I go to like real fast.
Wait, hold on. Did you say Wisconsin? Is that Milwaukee and Wisconsin combined?
Did I say Wisconsin?
He's not smashing words together like
I
you.
Said Minnesota and Wisconsin. Maybe you heard me.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I don't know, maybe it's a new sandwich there. I don't fucking know what goes on in the Midwest.
But the only time I go to McDonald's anymore is on the road. Like, have you ever go to McDonald's at home or gonna grab dinner? McDonald's
Never.
Or Burger
Never.
King or any? We go to Taco Bell. Taco Bell has stayed in the rotation.
Okay.
We'll never give up on Taco Bell. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we go to a rest stop, and you have the usuals: Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, right? Culver's.
Same,
you don't guys have Culver's,
do you? Yeah. Starbucks.
Starbucks. Yeah, that's a little different. But so we were tired of McDonald's because we've done that before. So we're down to Wendy's, Burger King, and Arby's. All right. So that's kind of our choices.
And you love Arby's.
No, that's not me. That's somebody else.
Oh, you like Lion's Choice.
No, Lion's Choice. I don't love Lion's Choice. That's just because it was close to the office.
When I first went to St. Louis to meet Dave, he said, you've got to try Lion's Choice. It is like a better, it's a Bobo Arby's. That's what it is. It's
that
Bobo
that
Arby's.
Is revisionist history. I think we said, let's go to Lion's Choice, which is right. probably only in the St. Louis area. But right. it is weird because it's like very raw roast beef. Like
it's not good.
Yeah.
Is it not regarded as the best?
Best what?
Roast beef.
Lion's Choice? No.
Have you heard of Lion's Choice?
Lion's Choice. I have.
No, it's Bobo. It's fast Bobo. Food, man. Yeah, it's fast food. It's fast food. It's Arby's without the.
It's Arby's where they the don't cook the meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't want to go. My wife said, "Let's do Wendy's. I like Wendy's better." And I don't like Wendy's. I like their Frosties, but other than that, I don't like their fries.
Okay.
I love the Frosties. I love them so much.
Frosties are good, right? But the fries are thick, like steak fries. I don't like that.
They're not great.
So we went to Burger King. Okay. Oof. Now, growing up, Burger King was a reasonable place to go. It was after softball games, we did Burger King, and we went there, and there was nobody there.
Yeah, of course not.
And because the menu hasn't changed, the restaurant decor hasn't changed. I mean, it's Burger King.
Can I tell you Burger King's biggest mistake they ever made?
When I was
a teenager, they used to have they launched the pizza burger. It was amazing. You know they had those like special things, and it was the best burger. Amazing. And they stopped doing it. Burger King, I would bring back the pizza burger.
Yeah, you know what this is, by the way, and I'm going to tell you something. When was the last time you had the pizza burger?
I haven't had it
This is called selective memory.
Why?
Because I'll tell you why. I used to think that too, because there's certain things I had as a child where I'm like, oh, that was so good. Like we had in school for lunch at the cafeteria, pork rolls. I'm like, oh, I remember those pork rolls. They were so good. And then you go get them. They're disgusting. It's just that's what you're.
You got them at school?
It was in my cafeteria, my school cafeteria.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
lunch.
How did you recreate the pork rolls?
Because you tailor-made pork rolls. They're in the grocery store.
Oh, you can.
Pork rolls. Yeah. They're frozen?
No, they're like a flat. It's like a flat, round, perfectly round pork meat, and then you fry it up, and then you put it between bread. Pork roll.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Oh my God.
What I'm saying is, you remember certain things.
I have a question. Who introduced you to these?
School district.
What do you mean, who introduced me? Paxson Hall Middle School introduced me to pork roll.
This is the food that you were fed.
Yes, oh that's what God. I grew up on.
This is a case for private school vouchers, if I ever heard one.
And pizza vouchers. Pizza boat day was huge.
What was a pizza boat?
Like French bread pizza. They called it a pizza boat because it looked like a boat.
Listen, if you make that French bread pizza right, like Stouffer's, and it's crispy, oh, it's beautiful.
No, it's not. And again, this is what I'm talking about. Your memory is selective, and these things are not good, but you remember that way. So what happened to Burger King, Dave?
I'm looking at pork roll and I can't find it as a sandwich. It's like
I don't think it's a thing. Well,
you're not going to see a sandwich. It's pork roll is like look up tailor-made pork roll and it comes in like a square box.
Because it was developed in 1856 by John Taylor of Trenton. Yeah, sold as Taylor's prepared.
Wait,
ham.
Is that the golf guy made clubs? Tailor-made clubs?
No. That's a different guy. That's a different guy. And by the way, the ones we ate were originally from 1856. That's what they served us in school.
That's. Anyway, so I realized the thing is Burger King is failing. I don't even know how they're still around because, I mean, you look at – if you have burger places, you've got Shake Shack.
Five Guys.
Yeah.
Five Guys. You've got – I went to Wahlburgers. Ever been to Wahlburgers?
Yeah, Wahlburgers, sure. Yep.
Mark Wahlberg and his brothers, whatever. I did that. It was pretty good. How is Burger King still alive? And I thought, how could we save Burger King? Because – that's my question.
Omar, you got to stop kissing the dog. I mean, the people are going to hear that. Sorry. Right through days. It's unbelievable. Go ahead, Dave.
So so how would you save Burger King? I mean, is it just they pizza should die? Because, so that's – you got the pizza burger. And I guess creative. I thought, how could you save –
they have great onion rings.
But I don't think that's enough. No one's coming for the onion rings, at least in this part of Illinois.
You'd have to do something like the McRib, where you tease people and it's something special that only you do. I mean, what do they have? They got the not the Whopper, is it
flame broiled?
The Whopper,
flame broiled.
Is it the Whopper or is that McDonald's?
Whopper is Burger King, but the whole thing is they flame broil. They flame broil.
Yeah, and it's good. It's better than McDonald's burger. It's not as good as Five Guys.
I don't know about that.
That's not saying much.
Yeah, but it's better. The burgers are better.
I have an idea. You ready for this? Yeah. I have an idea for Burger King. And this is free. I told my team the other day that we are not woke. We're the opposite of woke, so much so that I want one of our mottos to be, we are asleep at the wheel. All right? Mm. So my point is, just like Kid Rock had a hat on and he said, it says like how he embraces being a white male. Let's go counterculture. Let's embrace everything that, you know, let's have the animal fat French fries. Okay. Yeah. Let's have like giant burgers that like, and have, you don't even try and do anything healthy.
Yeah.
Made from fossil fuels.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. I see what you're saying. You're the antithesis of.
And you become a lightning rod for like the right wing.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for because you can't just have like, hey, we've got a new item.
Correct.
It's
no one cares.
Special cheese. Like no one cares.
Allow guns.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you have a gun when you order, you get a discount.
It depends on the state. You can't do that in every state.
You can vary by state. If you have a picture of you have a gun with a newspaper, right? You have a discount.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting
idea. Lean into.
If you can show that you kept the baby, you get a discount.
Oh, God. You know, listen, let's tone it down a little bit.
If you have a letter from your church, you get vouchers.
Listen,
you get a discount.
If they went Burger King, we're cooking with lard now. That could be their tagline. We're cooking with lard now. In other words, that's it. We've given up. We're not going to try to give you something that it isn't. Boom, hitting you with lard. It's going to be delicious. It'll kill you.
Yeah,
we're not hiding that. But it's
we're
delicious.
Not healthy.
I think this is the answer. It's like if you homeschool your kids, half off, right?
Yep. It's how do you prove that?
Well, you make them take a test, probably, and they're showing
you know
up.
How you prove that?
Actually,
you homeschool in the Burger King that day.
Yeah,
yes,
that's how you
another
prove
idea.
It.
I would create. I would hire a bunch of Latin American actors and have them get in a caravan. Coming into the country.
I don't like where this is going.
And I would create a wall that's Burger King.
Okay.
Giant billboards that prevents them from coming into the country.
Getting us canceled. Oh, my God. All right. In other words, what we're saying here is Burger King is completely shit out of luck. There's nothing they can do.
I think the caravan idea is a good one.
It's not.
Just keep rotating around.
Not good.
Look at
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you order? What did you order? What did you have?
I get the same thing. I get a double cheeseburger. Fries are good, and soda's serviceable. I mean, that's all I want.
Was it decent?
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Better all than. Right. It's not as good as Five Guys. It's something. Five Guys is, I think, for a fast food burger, is by far the best. Yeah. And those fries they throw in there, fantastic. But I mean, can Burger King change? And make a better burger and change how they redo their signage. Like they got to reinvent themselves somehow.
Did they give you a paper crown? Were you able to get a paper crown?
I didn't get a paper crown. I probably could have, but I didn't get paper crown. And the whole thing, Burger King, I think you got to change the name too. If you reinvent yourself,
can't change the name. There's cachet there. Although I think of Burger King, and I think there's no way I want to go near it.
What cachet do you think they have? Yeah,
I don't know. It's been around forever.
Milkshakes either. The vanilla milkshakes at Burger King, and they're also quite good. Mm. But I haven't had it in years.
If you go this right wing direction, do you have a playoff of Burger King that you would use?
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Ooh, have a Trump burger. Name the items on the menu after famous conservative icons. Have like the Clarence Thomas, onion rings.
Right.
You know?
Well, you could have the Rush Limburger. Rush Limburger, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
There's something to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you're going to owe royalties to use
the George Bush, like, you know, something like that, the W.
Right, right. Freedom Fries. You can remember you said Freedom
Bingo.
Fries.
Yeah, Freedom
Bingo.
Fries after 9/11. Yeah,
Bingo.
Bring those back. Bring those
back.
See,
these are, Josh, you do nothing but stifle my creativity. You never support it. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, if I didn't do that, you would have sunk a whole lot of money into some real losers and probably would have been lesser off for it.
Omar, I think we need to just, when it comes to this stuff, we'll leave Josh out. I think Burger King USA is the new name.
There you go.
And that is a red, white, and blue USA that goes right
up. Burger King America.
Merca. Merca.
That's what I just said. America.
Merca. Fuck yeah. Yeah. America. Fuck yeah. What was that movie, though, from the guys from South Park?
Yes, it was very funny. Oh, God.
Team,
what was that called?
Team America.
Team World.
Team America.
Team America.
Team World America. Police. That's someone's World Police. Favorite movie.
Funny story with Team America World Police. Dave and I did an interview. We have to read our email, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
We were interviewing somebody. Remember this, Dave? A long time ago for a position. Mm-hmm. And they were in the latter stages of the interview process, and we had done quite well. We brought them out to dinner to kind of seal the deal and took them out to dinner. And Dave loves to ask the question, what's your favorite movie? And this individual answered, Team America, World Police, especially the uncensored version where you see the dolls having sex.
That was, yeah.
And if you thought you got too comfortable with an interview, you didn't, because that was about as, was
did
about
you,
as
did
long
you,
an
Did
answer.
You hire that person?
No.
I wanted to, yeah. But
wanted to?
No.
But it's not even that we're offended by it. It's the judgment that you know this person's on an interview and still says those things. Lie to us and tell us it's the Maltese Falcon. That's what we want to hear.
That's right. Shawshank. Just say Shawshank. Shawshank.
Exactly.
Shawshank. So anyway, I think the answer is we're going to call it Burger Ameriking. I think it's something that we do that.
Yeah, American.
And everything on the menu is named after conservative. I think it, not that, you know, 50%
of our rebranding. It's a rebranding.
Yeah, but pretty easy to do. Same items, just call it something else, and you don't have to redo your grill and your ingredients and stuff like that. All right, I got my answer. Thank you very much.
There you go.
All right. We do have an email. Perfect. You want to jump to email?
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
You want to do the email bumper music right here?
Yeah, right. We were able to do unable to do the email when it was meant to be read last episode. But so it's from one of our top listeners who has written us before, Jamie L. So we're always excited to get an email from Jamie L. She says, "Dear friends, since you are in such dire need of emails," I don't know where she's getting that from, "because I decided to help you out with some comments from your previous episode," and she means the episode before last. She says, "Josh, you should definitely give some accolades to the guy that called you every week for a year. That is incredible persistence that deserves some credit, even if you're not interested." So that's, I told a story about how at a job, this guy called continuously, even though I never called him back, never returned any phone call, and he never stopped for a year. It was amazing. But she goes on to say, "As you know, I'm in sales and very persistent, but that guy took it to a whole another level. I'm sure he would love to hear from you, even if it's just to make sure he didn't die. I would love to reach out. I just don't know where the hell he is." But he goes on to say, "By the way, Dave is right. We would rather you tell us you're not interested at all than to not answer. You would have saved this guy 51 voicemails. I'm sure he would have loved to cross you off his list, but he was holding out hope for that 0.00001% chance." She goes on to say, "Omar, guess who I know that would most likely entertain a decoupling party if you broke up?" Omar's whole topic was about setting the stage for the breakup before the relationship even starts. And she said, "That's right. Her friend Randy. If your phone happens to dial this number, I won't read it by accident. You might be in for a treat. By the way, no need to read this part on the podcast. I just did. And I did that on purpose."
That's funny.
So your if sister, you want
you
your,
know what? You know what? Your sister, she's my favorite. I got to tell you.
There you go.
There's no comparison.
She gets one vote there. So you're what do we call it? We called it a post-nup or a post-breakup nuptial or whatever the hell we called it.
Omar, give this woman a call, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I mean, she's been talking about this for years.
I'm in no place to be in anything. I haven't been on a date this entire year. I'm gonna try and go through the whole year.
I thought you said you were gonna get back on the saddle.
Much easier said than
episodes
done.
Ago.
It requires something that I don't have, which is
patience.
I don't know.
Charisma,
thing is, though, I had a woman tell me the other day that I had a swimmer's body. So that's she's clearly hitting on me.
She said what?
She told me I had a swimmer's body.
Swimmer's body, because you have no hair?
No, because of the way I'm built. I had my shirt off at the we were at the beach, and she's like, you know, I'm surprised you're not a really good swimmer. You have such a great, you have a swimmer's body. That's, wow, you know, that she's hitting on me.
Yeah, she didn't mean floater's body. like a dead
whale
body.
Swim. Yeah,
they dredge up. Anyway, she says, Dave, congratulations on being a grandfather and the new addition to your family. Baby sincerely, Silas. Your number one fan, Jamie L. So thank
you. All that matters is everybody's healthy in Dave's family. I mean, God knows these kids must be so scarred, his kids. And hopefully, you know, they do a good job with theirs.
Yeah, they'll learn. Think of the lessons that they've learned through my bad parenting.
That's true.
The Silas is
lead by example.
Great, great shape. And he's doing great, by the way. He is the best grandson of all time.
Good
love
to
it.
Hear.
Love it. All right. So any more emails, Josh?
That's it. That's our mailbag. Right. Hopefully we get some more in the future.
All right. Well, we have lots of things to follow up on. We have our summer movie wager that we did that will come up very soon.
Yeah.
And we have breaking in the Olympics that we'll need to talk about. I want to do a review of a movie sometime. We pick a really bad movie and then we can review that as a podcast. So these are all ideas that we've been floating around.
And we're also going to be doing our first ever recording all together in Rincon. Since Rincon is officially open.
That's awesome. Quite the promise. From two
yeah,
of the
well, we're, you know what we're doing there. We have a recording studio.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Can other people come? Can we listeners? Can we have one lucky listener come?
Yeah, and also, you set up the AV. Hopefully it's not you. In the studio. And that's why. It's like, as if it was on cue.
Yeah, maybe we should take that as our cue to say goodbye. So again, for everyone, thanks for listening. Check us out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Our website is friendstalkingshop.weedly.com. Pretty soon you're about to hear our new song, which Josh will drop right here. And after you listen to it, you can email us at friends@fts.com. So until next time, bye everyone.
See ya. And then Omar is gone.
So
he's
really
like,
hell yeah. Calming the storm. Josh sets him off, keeps it warm. Omar adds spice, breaking the norm. FTS together in perfect form. Mundane or absurd, they got the fix. Dave's got the order, Josh got the tricks. Omar with flair, laughing in the mix. FTS, capturing the clicks. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop. Solving life's troubles while they spit and they bop. FTS crew, climbing to the top. Three homies chilling, yeah, they're making the crop. Life's petty props, kicked to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Omar the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop. Solving life's troubles while they spit and they bop. FTS crew, climbing to the top. Three homies chilling, yeah, they making the crop.